Meeting to order. It's 9:35. Could we please get a roll call?
Andrew Evero.
Here.
Peter Leeds.
Here.
Jason Madison.
Here.
David Swartz.
Here.
Paul Sterin.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you so much, Kurt. It appears that we do not have any members of the public here. If you could let the record reflect that. Item 3, call to the public, is taken care of. So on to adoption of the minutes. Agenda item number 4. Do you have those, Paul?
I do have them, yeah.
Okay. You have no shot at knowing whether they're accurate or not. So I did not...
I see you approved me in the minutes, so that's good.
Well, you're official.
Yeah. Hopefully we scrubbed them now.
Right.
Did you...
No, I saw nothing wrong, Mr. Chairman. I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as written.
Second. Perfect. Is there any opposition to the motion? Or, I'm sorry, any discussion further? Okay, any opposition to the passage of the minutes? Hearing none, motion passes. Minutes are adopted. And on to agenda items 5. And we'll start with A, which is legislative updates. We're obviously going to be addressing Senate Bill 1045, but there's also kind of a new bill or a bill we've just become aware of that we want to discuss as well. I don't know on Senate Bill 1045 was the one affecting home inspectors and the agencies to allow for streamlining and removal, elimination of some bottlenecks that occur. Were you there at the...
We were. Okay. Patty and I attended yesterday. It was quite the marathon agenda in the Commerce Committee because this is the last week to hear bills. So ours was first on the agenda. Mr. Kavanaugh, who is a well-respected member of the Senate, was the sponsor. And he also sponsored the alarm bill that was very similar that passed last year, where we went from actually processing people's fingerprint cards and as an intermediary between the applicant and DPS to just having applicants submit directly to DPS. So he was very much in favor of assisting the home inspectors in this regard, and actually Patty reminded him the week before that he was actually the sponsor.
He had forgotten. I was meeting with him about a different bill, and this came up, and he said, why didn't you approach Representative Mitchell? And I'm like, well, because we had a much better sponsor. And he goes, me?
They see a lot of different bills.
Oh, yeah. But it was great because his clout is much stronger. So we had been hearing from Rory that Mr. Peterson, my favorite legislator, was holding the bill because he's aggravated with the board. We didn't kowtow to him the day he came to argue with us some years back. So anyway, it miraculously appeared on the agenda for the Commerce Committee. And
Rory worked hard.
Yes, and she went and met with Peterson, and they worked out an amendment which basically says, and this shall never come up again, and no one should have to submit to fingerprints for renewal ever. And he was very happy about that, and actually was looking right at me during the testimony, and this will never come up again.
Really?
Yes. I just, you know, I can't help it.
So
I'm trying
to
be a better
again?
Person. No, not yet, but maybe next year. You know,
I'd do it the next day.
I do still hope there will be sinkholes that open up in Gilbert. And but anyway, that's just between us and, you know.
And on the public
record. And the public record.
Right.
Between us and anybody
who wants to pull them in. Anyway, so he actually voted for it. It passed unanimously.
And he was not going to.
He was not going to, but he did, so...
And just so that everybody knows, the change was actually that would affect those that are already licensed and make it clear that we do not have to go through the new method, and then anyone who's licensed does not have to do the 6-year cycle of renewal.
Oh, so this is a one-shot deal?
Yeah.
It is. For new applicants once it passes. Just, it's kind of a burden to go back to everybody, make them pay money, and then start up this new 6-year cycle.
I was wondering what
they didn't believe in it anyway.
So when I renew, which is coming up shortly, I don't need to get that cut.
No.
And that's an amendment.
I better call my wife.
Yeah, and this bill won't be effective until 90 days after session's over, so probably late July, August.
Yeah. And so just it brought something to mind for me. If an applicant were to be convicted of a felony, does this board get word of that?
We would within the 6 years that the clearance card will be valid.
And only in the state of Arizona. They don't search outside the state of Arizona.
But if it were an applicant that came in years ago, not under the new fingerprinting program, would the board even know?
You guys call LexisNexis on everyone, don't you?
We do for renewal, and we actually ask renewal applicants to indicate whether they've been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor since their last renewal cycle. Oh. And staff runs LexisNexis to verify that that's correct information we're receiving. So we catch people periodically who forget to be truthful.
It's just not under this new clearance card, we would know right away.
Right.
Under the old system, we'll know once a year.
So a new applicant, 90 days after the session ends, is going to need one of these cards.
Right.
Okay, now, is that the only way in? Can he still go get a sheriff's fingerprint card?
No.
So this is going to be
the only way in.
Okay.
But we'll send out notices ahead of time like we did with alarms, and I think they transition pretty well.
They transition real well, yeah.
So we'll send out letters, we'll send out emails, we'll put it on Facebook.
So that's the only amendment to the bill, and then it passed unanimously.
Yes,
Senator Peterson kind of demanded it, or it was not going to be heard.
Okay.
The bill was going to die.
So is this going to another committee now? What is
it go to the House? And
the House side.
It goes
Commerce,
to,
I'm sure.
It'll go to Rules, and then it'll go to Caucus, and then it will go to the floor, and then it will go through its third read, and then it will go to the House and repeat the whole process.
Is there any expected opposition as it moves forward? No.
No, I actually spoke to the Democratic minority last week. They called and wanted to know if we were in favor of the bill, and we are. So I explained how and why we're in support of it, you know, all the positives about streamlining the process for applicants, as well as for board staff. I mean, we now will be out of the fingerprint business, which is great, because there's a lot of compliance elements that we have here for, you know, storing them, and, you know, the FBI comes in and has already audited us once to make sure that the information that's confidential is kept confidential, and we have to shred the documents in a certain way and record the shredding and all this other stuff. So we'll be out of that business until the engineers have to be fingerprinted. No, but hopefully, you know, the new process through DPS is making this fingerprinting and criminal history information access a lot easier for not just our board, but for all the other reg boards in the state. It's just new technology and a better, faster way of obtaining information. So,
And we had the support of the real estate folk. The realtors came and registered as supporting. And I apologize, I wasn't there. I was returning from a funeral.
Yeah, we heard.
So, anyway, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so that was good. Did you want to mention any of the other... Pat's been tracking our legislation for us.
And the legislative mode, I get very caught up in the
good girl. We appreciate that.
Not others that directly impact home inspectors, but for committees and the board. Public meeting, the definition of public meetings will carry a greater weight in terms of people can take the board to court and sue them if they feel that we're not following the meeting laws, but this board and these committees do. So this shouldn't impact us if it goes through. There's a bill that would require audiovisual recordings of all meetings. So everybody would have to learn to have a poker face. And
just wear black.
Would have to be a little...
And I'd have to contain my enthusiasm.
another bill
I think that's going to go anywhere, that AV one?
It might. Yeah. There are actually a lot of boards and commissions and municipalities that are videoing everybody now.
The problem is it doesn't have any money with it.
Mm. Will the board pay for Jetson type face mask?
Yeah, but don't wear other masks. A bill that's of great concern would allow a Superior Court judge to overturn the decision of a board if somebody appeals to Superior Court. Never a good idea, because Superior Court judges don't really know anything about these professions. And then there's the compact bill. Senator Kavanaugh proposed, or he dropped a bill that would let somebody who's licensed in another state come into Arizona and practice on a temporary license for 180 days, which
it's 18 months, actually.
18 months. So that's true, it is longer, which clearly is a concern for professions. There are some occupations that may work for with home inspectors. Some states license them, some states don't. So actually, I went with the architects, since Melissa wasn't available, to talk to Senator Kavanaugh, and other people approached him, and he realized that many of us grant licenses, you know, far more quickly than that temporary license would cover. So it's almost like an additional hoop you would put people through. So he's going to change. He's going to kind of put the bill through, but he's going to amend it next year to be narrow as to certain occupations.
Perfect.
But actually, he got the language for this bill, he claims, from the Wall Street Journal, but I'm convinced it was from Koch Brothers Summer Camp, where, you know, they have them all line up at the crafts table and they cut and paste language for these various bills. And, you know, anyway, we had heard about it before it dropped in Arizona, because it was being considered in South Dakota with four other states actually listed in their bill. North Dakota, Wisconsin, Wyoming, Colorado. And again, same language about any profession, no discussion about regulation or good moral character, any of the other things that we all consider when we grant registration to people. And South Dakota actually started stakeholder discussions with various professions, because they recognized there might be a problem. And it was the same problem that Kavanaugh saw with people, professions wanting to be excluded. So the architects managed to get themselves excluded in South Dakota, and then our bill dropped first. So there was all kinds of chaos going on about Arizona, oh my God, you people live in the Wild West, and this is, you know, terrible. So we don't know if what's going to happen in South Dakota. It also dropped somewhere else. I want to say in Wisconsin.
Oh, there's a very strange version in Tennessee.
Okay.
But Tennessee, actually three states, forms a private board that takes over the authority of government. I don't think it's going to go anyway.
Yeah, I don't either. So we're not the only state this session seeing this. And the idea of compacts or reciprocity, basically, isn't a bad idea. I mean, it would facilitate registration. So the board discussed this last month and said, well, you know, don't come out against the bill, because we want to support the concept to help people get registered more quickly, but, you know, see what happens with it. And what happened was Kavanaugh came before, which committee was it, government?
Commerce.
Anyway, it was heard last week, and he basically told the committee that he likes the idea, but he wants to basically form a study committee first, and then look at the issue and maybe come back next session, like Patty said, with a bill that makes more sense for Arizona.
And then, I mean, endorsement would make sense for a lot of our people if they're licensed in another state, so yeah, maybe that's something to explore in the future.
Yeah. So
in our world, they have, like California has a Trade Practice Act, and that's all. They don't have licensing, so I would hope that that doesn't qualify.
No, the compact bill, first of all, you'd have to be licensed in another state, but also the board would have to agree to it. It's not a you have to do it.
You have to be overt.
Right. That's cool.
So you'd be taking those on an individual basis, then?
I think so. For instance, like the surveyors around the country have to take state-specific exams before they're qualified for registration, even if they've been practicing for 20 years in a different state. Each state has their own specific requirements they want surveyors to know. So we couldn't really accept reciprocity for surveyors. And I don't know that we could for home inspectors because they're not licensed in every jurisdiction. Same for geologists, also not licensed.
Not to mention our standards are different than the national standards. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we'll be invited or we'll at least hear about the study committee if it's formed, and be able to let you guys know. One thing I do want to say about legislation is what did not drop this session, which is the issue of consolidation or deregulation of the other professions, which is a relief to me. Anyway, I think the governor and the legislature had other issues that were more pressing on their minds. The bill that was dropped to deregulate geologists and landscape architects was not heard, so it is currently dead and hopefully will not be resurrected. So that's a positive. Yeah.
Okay, there's one other issue, and I got wind of it about a week ago, but the timing was bad. And
I sent you an email.
Yeah. This is a bill, I don't know, HB 2507. And actually, just would like to get a little legal advice from, maybe you guys can, whoever feels inclined. This is the bill itself, very brief. Next page, it's super brief.
Mr. Mitchell.
And I don't know if it applies to only new construction or all construction.
A contested dwelling action.
So it's basically eliminates the prevailing party gets attorney fees provision if you are suing a builder, is I think what this is kind of implying.
Identification?
No, and they're making it retroactive to
05 or
July 2015.
15. So this is what the realtor's call to action says, if you can scroll and read through that real quick.
Yeah.
Realtors are asked, did they ask us to support it at all?
Not yet.
Okay.
But that's still another meeting I'm going to be heading to, and I believe it's more than just returning, being able to ask for attorney's fees in suing a builder. It kind of takes some of the meat, I think, out of the two-year builder warranty, as I understand it, and makes it difficult to go back for warranty items for the builder.
Yeah, it even eliminates implied warranties and stuff. Which
right.
Is like, what?
Now the ROC would, you know, like? Has rules for that, and so it would have to overlay the registrar contractors' requirements for licensed contractors. So, I mean, I can't.
We just are thinking, you know, the realtors just supported us. It wouldn't be unheard of that they would ask us to be in support of this. And we just got wind of it. I'd have printed this out for everyone, but we just kind of.
Well, what I would say is we need to be careful as a board taking a position, but certainly your association could and say, you know, here's our thought about why it's a problem.
Right.
So.
And it may be a discussion with Rory on the association side, but it's something we need to stay close to.
Well, Melissa just said this is the last week or something of hearing.
For bills to be heard. Yeah.
So it could just die in committee. If I don't know where it's at.
I will check and see if it's assigned to committee.
Seems like every couple of years the builders try to remove their obligation for warranties.
I'm sure they're under a constant attack.
Well, some of it is flagrant, but a lot of it is well-based.
Yeah, true. Some of both.
Okay, so we'll go ahead, I'll see if it's on schedule for committee.
Does it indicate it's scheduled?
Their system's slow today.
Is it?
Oh, there it is.
It is.
It is scheduled today.
Today? Okay.
2:00.
And what committee is that?
Oh, wait, it's scheduled tomorrow.
Judiciary and Public Safety.
Thank you.
Yeah, tomorrow at 2:00.
What public safety?
I don't know. Who's Lawrence?
The chair is Eddie Farnsworth.
Oh, yeah, it's up on there.
Great.
It's just really late. Mm-hmm. For her to get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It's always so much fun.
Things happen fast down there. We've had that occur multiple times, so.
If you'd like me to print off the agenda, let me know and I can do that.
Yeah, that would be great. Might as well.
Okay, and then we'll go do that now.
After this meeting, I'll try and see if we should put it on there. Hey, I'm having trouble. Can you be in support of it from your computer at home or something?
I
couldn't
think
log in.
Can hear.
Really?
Well, you can indicate your position.
But
you
not as a lobbyist, right?
I can because I'm a public lobbyist, but
it was like making me go down here.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to do it without having to be there.
Yeah, I don't know
wasn't
that you
letting
can. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. All right, I don't think there's any action needed on any of this. Just this is an
informational
update. Yeah, informational, 5A. So any other discussion on that item? All right, we'll move on to 5B, which is a rules update, which... How is that going?
It's going. The board in January accepted this committee's request to make the clerical change to the words in the home inspector rules and also voted to file the rules with the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. So what that requires of us is to draft the economic impact statement, which we are in the process of doing. And once that's done, because that's required to be included with the package, we will send it over to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, and then we start on their calendar for when they have a certain amount of time that they review the rules, and then it goes to their committee for review and comment and possible modifications. So I don't know what that date will be yet because, again, we haven't submitted it, but we are hard at work on the economic impact statement.
Is the public input period?
It is.
Complete?
It is.
It's all over?
Yep.
Well, do we, thank you so much.
I think
do we get word as to if there was any?
This committee was the only public comment on the rules, and it's possible we might hear when it's published with the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. Once it's put on their agenda, that's again an open meeting that the public can attend and can either criticize the rules or support the rules or request that they be modified. So,
I hate to be the fly in the ointment, but over here, on R430-102, I think 1, 2, 3, and 4, instead of underlining all that, should have been scratched out.
Yeah, it looks like.
You see that there?
5 was done correctly as we.
Yeah, from 5 down, it's all scratched out properly. But you see, for instance, 1. Our parallel inspection is stuck in there with automatic safety controls. and automatic safety controls all the way down to the word parallel inspection should have been stricken.
You're right, it shouldn't all be underlined.
And central air conditioning should all be stricken down to parallel inspector, and components should be stricken down to peer review. You see what I mean?
Yep.
It was mistakenly underlined.
Yep.
Alright.
Good point, thank you.
Otherwise, now it was, I think it was done right last time we were here because we would have seen that.
I wonder when I added the parallel inspection in the red there, that somehow the PDF automatically
underlined everything.
Underlined everything.
Okay.
I didn't realize it. So I'll make sure to double check that with the whole version.
Thank you, Peter.
Version.
You
know.
Might need to check the GURPS. We have to republish.
Now, Paul, we're taking all of these out of the rules because they're already established.
Okay.
These definitions used to exist in
It was just duplicate.
It was a duplicate.
Essentially, because I saw some changes on the felony misdemeanor side in here, too.
Yeah, that's board stuff, I think.
Okay.
All right.
But more administrative than a position change. Okay.
Right. Yeah, we're taking all the definitions that are in the standards, in the rules, are coming out of the rules because it was redundant.
Okay, but nothing fundamental, just more administrative.
Right.
Okay.
So then we're adding definitions for parallel inspector.
The one
as
that's new
the
is
inspection
peer review.
And peer reviewer.
And peer reviewer.
Which
so
you
that,
see
that's
down
for
at number two.
Disciplinary purposes. As part of discipline, and we could, the board could cause the respondent to have to go do peer reviews under a licensed guy, which are different than parallel inspections.
So if the mentor is not doing their job.
Right. So we're putting, what's the word I'm looking for? The mentor has to meet a certain criteria.
Right.
Same as the parallel inspector.
Must be 5 years. Like right now, a parallel supervising inspector could be brand new, newly licensed. That's not the case with a peer reviewer. If you're, as part of discipline, assigned peer review inspections under a licensed person, they have to be like 5 years.
And 250 paid inspections.
Yeah.
And 3 years without any disciplinary action.
Right. So they have requirements. A peer reviewer is different than a parallel.
Not anymore, because up above there, you'll see that the parallel inspector has to meet the exact same requirements.
Oh, nice. So I'm not clear. The peer reviewer, is that on an EAC committee, or how does that
It's after the EAC, and the board hands down discipline, and the discipline is parallel inspections, per se, with somebody to teach him how what he's doing wrong.
Right.
He is no longer called a parallel inspector, he's called a peer reviewer. You see?
Okay.
And the rules are pretty much the same between the two of them. Okay. The qualifications are the same between the two of them. It's just that one's a parallel inspection for applications and one is a peer reviewer for a licensed home inspector.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that conclude that? That's about all we spotted as far as...
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, now we're on to Peter again, which is revision to EAC severity ratings.
Okay, I think I got it this time, guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, I do want you to remember, I put the least amount of weight on clerical problems, stupid mistakes, all right? I put the most amount of weight, well, let's just work out from the bottom. The least amount of weight is on just a report, an agreement that's incomplete or something. I put the next weight on a description of a component, the next weight on the observation of a component, the next weight on a description and observation of a component, and the next one on a description and observation of a system, okay? So I put the least egregious would be clerical, the next least egregious would be type, the next would be condition, and then we go into the resulting in a complaint or allegation or resulting in a serious omission or a safety hazard. I think it'll just simplify everything, you know, rather than the old one that we had where everyone's looking at all these different examples and they crossed over so much that everyone was confused. At least here, where you can look at this and say, does it meet this parameter? And if it does, and then if it does, but you feel there's something else, the last paragraph actually gives the committee the chance to give a lesser or more severe rating based on the evidence that they acquire. Okay? Is that all right?
My only question is in regards to 4 and 5, the distinction is component versus system.
Well, yeah, because I feel...
flesh that out. If it, components within a system, so if you have multiple components within the same system, is that making it a 5? I'm not sure.
Well, that would be up to the committee. This is where their leeway is, okay? For instance, if a roof is bad, that's a system, okay? That would bring you immediately to a 5 if he misjudged the roof. However, if an air conditioner blower wasn't working, or not a blower, let's go with... Let's go with a coil. A thermostat, if an air conditioner thermostat wasn't working properly and one of the modes or the air handler didn't come on in the on position, that would be a component. You see what I'm saying? If the air conditioning system itself didn't work at all right, or, and he missed that, all right, then that would bring it back up to a system. Okay? So I put more weight on the system itself not working or being overlooked as opposed to just a component being overlooked. All right? It's hard to explain. That's why we put in that paragraph down at the bottom. If a doorknob is missing missing a lever handle, okay, that's a component. But if the door itself was trashed and thrown outside and the guy didn't note that, maybe that would be a system. It would all depend on what the guys are thinking about, you know, the committee.
So it's up to the committee to differentiate, even from a disciplinary action, between a drippy faucet being missed and a hole in the roof being missed, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the committee. But the committee still has the leeway to determine how grievous this might be.
Right.
Okay? And this just gives them an easier guideline to follow.
Okay, and 4 and 5 do not require complaints or any other external...
No, they actually, we put in the C since the RAS meeting saying resulting in a serious omission or a safety hazard, not requiring a complaint.
Okay. Well, you've seen so many complaints come in over the years, so I think it's a good cut at this.
I like it, but it's up to everybody.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Helpful. Yeah. As long as the people on the committee would understand it. And that would mean that your staff would have to explain it, whoever's running the meeting.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe we could reduce this to some type of matrix, like a chart.
Okay. Yeah, well, then we get back into the confusion again. You see, if we start throwing examples up like we had on the other form, that's when, well, at least I used to just go foggy. I'd look at it and say, and then just work... I threw that away pretty much and just worked off experience, the last 18 years of experience.
Right. Yeah, I would say this can't be a complete rigid thing because, well, you know, like Paul was saying, I mean, what if you have a drippy faucet that was part of a complaint? Mm-hmm. Would you really give that a severity of 4?
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, people are going to look at it and go, okay, you know, yes, it falls under 4 because it was a component that resulted in a complaint, but
the committee would bring it back to a 2.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
Because they have the options. They'll say exactly what you said. Right. That's not a 4.
It's not a perfect example either because those transitory failures, a plumbing leak can occur at any time.
Yeah, but these are actually for substantiated outages.
Right.
Right.
We're leaking at the time of the inspection.
Yeah. A leaky faucet's super tough to pull off.
Yeah. Right.
So
if
they did have proof, like, for instance, I had a home inspection complaint a couple of weeks ago where there was pictures of water damage in a bedroom in a corner a week before the home inspection, and then there were pictures of that same water damage a week after the home inspection, okay? And the home inspector didn't pick it up, and he says, I'm not supposed to pick up on mold, all right? Mm-hmm. This was his excuse. But the truth is, he had pictures a week before, and he had pictures a week after to show the same condition. This is proof, right? The committee will, I'm assuming, actually say, hey, why did you ignore the termite inspection, right? Even when the proof was right there, this, and that's what they will consider. Now, on a leaky faucet, you'll never get hit, dinged in a committee for a leaky faucet unless there's proof that it was leaking at the time of the inspection, you see? And that's so hard to prove.
Yeah.
So people do this all the time. But now if they tear out the cabinet and you got mold going into 3 or 4 different rooms that showed up on the shelf in the cabinet and they could prove that it was there, I mean,
it's tough to prove water leaks.
So with your example, then it seems like you have to, the committee would have to have flexibility. Is that a system or a component? You know.
Well, the system is the plumbing system. So for me, if it was just
that leak in the corner.
Oh, well, that actually was a roof issue. All right.
So is that a system or component? You know, it's just that's where they're gonna. It really basically allows them flexibility between a four and a five.
It does. And now, for instance, if it was just concentrated into that corner, maybe they might work on a system. Maybe, I mean, on a component. Maybe there's a flashing at something. On the other hand, if that leak shows up in several places in the room, maybe they'll consider this a system. You see? Yeah. Maybe the whole roof was shot and he didn't pick up on it. So I just put more weight on systems than I did on components. Now, we can cut this all the way down to four, which is what I recommended the first time. Okay, where we can move these down into just four categories of weight. Okay.
Well,
since we have five and everybody's.
Yeah, I like the four categories, but I think five should be the life safety thing. You know, that's
so crazy expensive. You know, like
right.
Super expensive or life safety.
Yeah, I mean, life safety is definitely a five. You know, I mean,
but when people bring in their X-rays from their ankle destroyed. You know,
yeah, like
we've had that.
Yeah, like they had their outside balcony and they stepped, the first day they went up there, they stepped through it because the decking was completely rotted away and no one mentioned it. Okay, that's a life safety thing. You know, that would be a five. Or there's no handrail on the balcony and the kid fell off, or, you know, the kid walked out there and, you know, touched the railing and fell, you know, off the second floor. And the home inspector didn't mention that the railing was loose. Okay, that's a serious thing.
Right. Or the roof they said was fine and it actually needs like $20,000.
Right. Well, yeah. That'd be a serious thing too. I mean, you know, but
that wipes people out financially.
Yeah, I think my opinion is the five should be the life safety thing.
So what if we did this? What if we kept one, two, and three as they are? Change four to not a component, but a system or a component. All right?
And combine them.
Combine system and component into number four, leaving the wording the same. And then moving down to number five and changing that to
extreme cost or injury,
extreme
life
cost,
safety.
Injury,
life safety or extreme financial burden.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something like that.
I can write that again.
Yeah. That would make sense.
The notation at the bottom of the page, okay? Where we give them the leeway?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to get too mired down in the language, but I think this is for EACs, right?
Right.
So I think right out of the gate, I don't like the word accurate. I think it might be, it would be better to be appropriate.
Appropriate.
If that's what you want to say, because I don't think this is an accurate, inaccurate issue.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is why we keep lawyers around.
Anything
else?
Well, are you going to redo this?
Yeah.
What's the title of this document? Remind me what it says at the top.
Severity ratings for substantiated allegations and deficiencies.
Right.
Do we want to say guidelines for severity ratings?
Good.
I always like having something in there that says guidelines as opposed to...
So it's not...
And mention four EACs. Like,
well, I'm thinking, just so
EAC
right out of the gate, so we know what it's for.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
EAC guidelines.
Because I think the word guidelines, it inherently means there's some discretion.
Flexibility,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like with a lot of the stuff we deal with, there the shalls, the maize, and the whatever.
Right. Right.
We're dealing with maize here.
Yes. All right, I like it. So five will be egregious. Four will be systems and components. And the top three will remain the same, and we'll change the heading. And the bottom
and
class.
Change
four.
That word.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. Now, if everybody's in agreement, I'll just send this to staff. Would that be all right? Or do we want to see it again next month?
I'll leave it up to the...
I think we could do staff if you would look it over just for, if you love the wording, run it around the table or something. Like, what would we say? So would it be extreme financial burden or personal safety? Or how would we word that perfectly?
Well, between the two of you, you had great words.
Yeah.
I'd say, Jack, severe financial burden or public, you know, life safety issue.
Okay. Or life safety. Would that be all right? Sure. Severe financial burden or life safety.
And I think anybody in the EAC is going to know, yeah, hey, this is something that was, you know, going to cost a lot or, you know, was potentially dangerous. And potentially dangerous could be, you know, finding copper and aluminum wiring in a house. I mean, that's, you know, fire potential. I mean, we see that all the time. I see tons of fires that's what's caused it. So, I that might be a 4 or a 5, you know, depending on how they looked at it. Now, if it's, you know, one outlet or something they found, you know, but if it was the whole house, you know, I don't know how you guys would even notice that, but.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
Start at the panel, you see a little one, and you start going a little deeper.
Yeah.
So, for instance, if the rise-run ratio on the staircase was inadequate, and a lady fell down the stairs and broke her leg, what number would that be?
5.
That would be a 5.
That's what we did, too.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a public safety thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds so, like Dave wants to see it again before.
How about I send it to him?
Could we just,
especially with the changes proposed, it'd probably be good to
look again.
We're
in.
Be okay with that?
Yeah.
Just bring it, put maybe it on the next agenda.
Or we could. Can it be done by email?
I think that would border on public
that's
media
fine.
Violation.
Yeah,
that's fine.
All right. If we put it on the next agenda, I'll have it right the third time. I promise.
It don't do it for me. I mean, I would trust you guys, staff, to look it over too, and then just be done with this.
I think we ought to do it again.
Well, this committee has to approve it, yes?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
And so if we're not ready to this month, it'll be next time. I do have one other quick thing on here, David. I understand that this committee has gotten, or the EACs have gotten out of the business, the purview of assigning recommended disciplinary action for a given complaint. So then the next logical question is, are these categories going to then funnel into some level of standardized disciplinary action?
The system 1-5 already does. So we're just changing the definitions of the 1-5s. But the disciplinary action is already there.
It's already been pretty much standardized. I know years ago it was a little more subjective, so that's, you know, from a letter of concern in someone's folder to, you know, taking them out of the business for some period of time, you know, and I know there was a fair amount of latitude. So that's more of a staff, the disciplinary action.
Doug would answer that.
Okay.
Doug, if you can explain to Paul what the guys do after they take the recommendations from the committee.
Well, it's not like we do take recommendations from the committee. If the committee feels strongly that, you know, even though they may have substantiated that the violations occurred, that they're de minimis standard violations,
mm-hmm,
and they feel a letter of concern would be appropriate, we reflect that in the report so the board can see that.
The board decides.
And we decide when it comes in, and sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't.
Right.
But either way, we've gone both ways. I mean, you know, we've had something and, you know, the recommendation would be a letter of concern, we'll be like, you know, this is a lot more severe than that. We've had somewhere they'll recommend something very severe and we'll look at it and go, yeah, this is, you know, lesser. So, yeah, when it comes to the board, we really have the final say on between all of us voting on, you know, what we feel is, you know, justified or not justified.
Yeah. And just to
clarify, if you get us on a good day, you know,
spring day.
This committee is strictly makes recommendations to the board. We don't have any.
So the EACs are still making recommendations for disciplinary action. Got it.
And then so, and it's not a item by item decision, it's a overall now, right?
That's right. You see, what we actually are not going to rate each little report deficiency.
The entire complaint.
As the entire complaint.
That makes sense.
Will be allegation. will be either substantiated or not, that he did not meet the standard.
And Paul, do you know that enforcement has changed the running of EACs a bit from...
I'm afraid not, and I don't want to take your committee time to get me up to speed, so I'm sure
fine.
At some point...
I mean,
it's fine. Why don't you explain the change with EACs?
Yeah, probably the biggest change is that now staff essentially will kind of run the meeting, whereas before we appointed
a chair
for the meeting. Right. And the reason behind that is not to burden the EAC people with having to run the meeting and then write a report. Of course, staff can do that. They have to be at the meeting anyway and allow the EAC members to do what it is they're there to do as subject experts.
Okay.
And, engage in the questioning and flush out what's going on in the case. So at the end of the day, staff actually prepares the EAC report based on what occurred on the EAC meeting. And not only allegations, but the deficiencies that were identified during the assessment process are line item as findings, if that's what the committee feels has occurred in terms of violations. So the vote to substantiate or not is based on the violation, the alleged violation under 301.01, rather than, as Peter said, each individual line item deficiency or allegation.
Okay. And that violation is, did it meet the standard or not?
Okay, so the substantiate or not substantiate is on not each allegation, but on the entire complaint. Is that right?
On whether or not the violation of the rules has occurred.
Okay, so it's kind of all or nothing that way, right?
And severity.
It's all or nothing. And then the severity comes into play, and the highest severity of all the allegations and deficiencies were probably right.
Okay, and otherwise it's still the same from a complaint coming in, that it has a life of its own, even if the complainant decides, no, never mind, I've decided not to do a complaint. But once the paperwork starts in the BTR, it used to be that you can't remove it. It has to see its course.
That's correct.
That's still the case, right? Okay.
Dave, have you taken part in the new process on EAC? And Peter has as well.
Yeah, I stopped a couple just to go in and get clarification.
Yeah, in fact, that was confusing to me. Are we averaging, what we're seeing as we decide a severity rating, or is it the highest one prevails? And it probably should be the highest
one
prevails.
The highest prevails. Yeah, that's what we generally end up with.
Right, because we talked about that at the last meeting. It's like if you have 1.5 and 27 ones, you can't average it out to a 2.
Right.
You have to take the, the worst case thing.
And, mm-hmm. And that's how a prosecutor would look at it as well. So I like that.
Now, my question is, we're lumping the allegation in with the deficiencies, though, and coming up with one conclusion. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Or is the allegation a conclusion and the deficiencies a separate conclusion?
Well, no. The conclusion at the end of the day is going to be whether or not the violation occurred.
Right. So
if the violation occurred, tell mm-hmm. us why. Because right. these two allegations are, found to be accurate, mm-hmm. and these deficiencies existed in the report because they're all standard violations, whether mm-hmm. it's the allegations or it's the deficiencies,
right.
they're all failure to meet standard,
right.
and that's what the rule reflects.
Right, so the vote is one vote on the whole package.
Right.
Okay.
It works well, too. It's
yeah.
better.
Yeah, good.
And you won't have to write any reports.
Yeah, I remember writing those EAC reports and chairing those. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, so we'll bring that back, mm-hmm. and Peter will take care of that for us. Thank you. You did a great job. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So item 5D is qualifications and compensation for a temporary employee to review applications.
And this is actually pretty timely because it does go hand in hand with the legislation, Senate Bill 1045, which will give the board authority to hire a home inspector to help us with applications if necessary. So I think this is a good discussion.
However, we feel we could actually do it, because our peak season is March through July. We feel we could pull this off this session too, or this year as well?
No, not until, well, we might be able to.
If it's under 10,000 or something?
Yeah.
The under 10,000 threshold or something?
From your budgeting standpoint?
Yes. Okay.
So I don't know if you've spoken with Randy or he's approached you, but he expressed interest in it. So.
As long as his license is still, his license still active?
I don't think he's enacted over his license.
Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, we could definitely work something out with Randy.
But he might, so you need to talk to him.
I know.
Because the way I was been communicating with him, I'm thinking he's going to dump all this.
Yeah.
So you might want to talk to him.
I agree.
So therefore, I don't know, David, if there's going to be a base level of criteria for that outside consultant, if you will. Base level of knowledge or time in the profession or...
Yeah, maybe consider mirroring the other requirements we have. The 5 years.
250.
Yeah.
No disciplinary action for 3 years.
And then has to be approved by this committee, maybe.
If you wish.
I would say that would be appropriate to pick the best and brightest. Because we're not likely to take on multiples. We could possibly just get one person, so...
Well, and actually Rob has good news about the status of the home inspection applications.
Yeah, there are none waiting to be sent out right now.
Yay!
Way to go. You guys,
your letters are working well. I love the way you write letters.
I appreciate it.
Good job, bro.
I like people's arms to be twisted like that.
Well, but that doesn't, I mean, and we don't have to bring somebody on, but if needed, I'd like us to be prepared. So
it would standardize the grading process.
The standardization,
as well, so
it would be.
For, even though the reports are obviously not unstandardized. So.
Exactly. No, it would help with consistency. So
yeah.
I would love to at least have it prepared. If we
well, could. And it looks like Randy's license is good through next year. So
nice.
How? 18.
Oh, this year. You're
April.
Right.
2 months.
2017 still.
Yeah, so you're going to want to ask
months.
Him. Tell
2 months.
Tell him to send in his $65 or $100 or whatever it is.
Okay.
So do you feel it'd be appropriate for me to reach out to him and ask him, or would you guys want to?
Either way, both.
I think he'd be a solid choice and obvious shoe-in to that.
And then there may need to be alternative names if he's not available, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess my next question is, I mean, the agenda item says review application. It's really just about report reviews, right? Isn't
yeah.
that just what we're talking about specifically?
Yeah. We don't do any of the other part of the application.
Nothing else.
That's our expertise.
Because that was obviously one of the roadblocks in trying to get in a volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're talking about paying somebody just to do report reviews for the application.
Makes sense.
So,
you got the plaques, right?
I do. Thank you so much.
Now, the way they'll
get
do
a
that,
selfie with
Paul, the way they plan on doing that is through a temporary agency and putting them on a
independent contract.
By hourly payroll, probably, or some fixed number.
Yeah, I guess that was my next question is, you know, the state requirements to bring in a consultant are probably arduous, I'm guessing.
They have to come through a temporary agency. And they'll just hire through that every time.
Okay, so there's a relatively easy way to plug in someone.
What it, right. So the agenda item also asks, so qualifications is easy. I would just match a peer reviewer or whatever. And then compensation. So you'd like us to chime in on what we feel?
Yeah, we have hired various employees on a temporary basis, and some obviously earn more money than others, because if we hire through a temp service, they're going to want to know how much, there's a range of how much to pay, and they build in their employee-related expenses. So, you know, do we want Randy or whomever we hire to receive $25 an hour? If so, we may have to pay the temp agency $30 an hour so that they make their profit and then he gets what he, you know, deserves, that sort of thing. So I'm just curious about your thoughts regarding time and, you know, how difficult this would be and how much it would be worth.
Is it required to be hourly rather than piece rate per inspection?
I don't know.
Don't know how the temp agencies are probably accustomed to hourly.
Hourly.
I'm sure.
You would think.
Yeah, the board members get paid $30.
Per day.
Woo!
Day.
Wow.
This is my retirement. This is why I'm eating.
Well, apparently we're paid better than they are. That sounds painful. But when you get into hourly, some are hard. Some of those report reviews are hard. So piece rate would be a little better on the state's side.
And to be clear, we are talking about filling out the checklist, right? Mm-hmm. The ever-popular checklist. Mm-hmm. And submitting the checklist, complete a checklist, along with the report.
Which
that's the output, right?
Now. It's online and pretty easy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if we hire through the agencies, it would have to be hourly because they use time cards. So.
Is the PDF form online? Is that on the website? The PDF. Okay, and Mr. Parham made a PDF form that you can actually just go in and check, and the whole thing you write in your comments and boom, boom, boom.
And refer back to the report page and item number where it was omitted or not.
Right, it follows the checklist supplement.
Are you talking about the assessment piece?
Yeah.
That's used for the assessment now?
Yeah. Is
that
on?
I don't think that's, the checklist is on there.
The checklist, but not the PDF checklist?
Not the fillable one, I don't think.
All right. So the guy is going to want to get himself, you're going to want to ship him that PDF form. Makes it a lot easier.
Well, maybe we could do an hourly with a not to exceed or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see you spending more than 4 hours max, maybe 3
hours.
Seems like a high, on the high side to go
I've gone
report.
To 6, but...
6 hours on one report?
Sometimes these guys are so convoluted. But the truth
you're
is...
you're not getting higher.
The truth is they generally take about 2 hours.
2 hours.
Right.
So I'd like to see a not to exceed a 2 hour.
Well, you haven't seen those 48-page reports come in.
Some of the narrative ones are still out there.
What if we said like $25 an hour not to exceed 2 hours or something? Does that seem fair to you guys?
2 hours per report.
Well, I wouldn't
per report.
I wouldn't put the not to exceed at the typical level. I mean, if they're typically 2 hours, I would put the not to exceed at a little higher.
I would too, like a 3.
Yeah, because mine actually average maybe 3 hours.
Really?
But I would say that we should do, if it's going to take 3 hours, $75 a shot, right? Mm-hmm. So just go $25 an hour, and if the guy is too slow at it and he's costing you money, find somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tell him his job is on the line.
Which is coincidentally the person who was griping at the last association meeting about how long everything takes, and he was proposing, look, we'll pay an expedite fee, you know, and he coincidentally said $75 or $100 even, you know. So it just
can't really do that.
We can't do
I know,
that.
I know.
Yeah.
I already brought that up, but it just is interesting that it hits that same target number. So
when an application comes onto my desk, I can call the guy and say, "Hey, if you pay me an extra fee, I can put this
little side
table, little side. Just get a couple big guys to go up to him and go, you will pay.
You know we're being recorded, right?
Yeah, exactly."
But we don't want to lose our volunteers volunteer only to paid. So should we put we would only send it out for paid review if we have X number of apps sitting?
That's what I would do.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing. It's just backlog. Like if you get backlog, right?
Yeah, so
because otherwise all the
need to know that.
Yeah,
volunteers, no one's going to want to do it because they're going to get paid.
I guess we're only happy when they've got joined. We're falling behind.
Them, but still.
Only as needed. So the other thing was we talked about at the last meeting, that was kind of the target we had hoped for, us guys, was to never exceed about a 2 month from dropping your application off to getting your answer.
Mm-hmm. And that,
which could be violated depending on timing and the board meeting, you know, frequency and all that. But
this actually goes back to that compact bill. It's really important that we keep apps moving quickly or we're going to end up something like a temporary license.
Right.
They issued the compact bill was to give somebody a temporary license so they could start working before they have proved that they meet the state's qualifications. Yeah, and the thing that got Mr. Kavanaugh to step back and say maybe we don't need this for everybody is telling him that people aren't waiting a long time for licenses. So So the fast, we need to really express to people, the faster we get those evaluations back, the more likely your licensure will not turn into a temporary.
Right.
Yeah, and I had a guy in my company, it was 4 months. It was a 4 month wait, and it was just
painful.
Really painful. Just waiting for it and, you know, trying to check in on what the status was on it. It was just a real challenge. And
his was the application Peter reviewed for 6 hours?
My report reviews always come back clean. They always do.
Then it wasn't me.
But I think 2 months is a good target. You know, we can't, you know, obviously it's not mandated or legislated, but I think it's a really good target to have. I think it's reasonable if you're going into a regulated profession to turn it around in 2 months. I think that seems reasonable. 4 months maybe probably is not. It's an impediment to entry.
What was that word you used?
Compact.
Compact. Now, I thought that that was based on experience in another state.
The way it was set up is if you're licensed in another state, you could come here and work for that period of time on a temporary license. So you wouldn't have to come here and take the mm-hmm. state's, you know, you wouldn't have to meet the state's requirements here. You could just come in and start working while your application's under review.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we get them through in 2 months, we can safely argue there's no reason.
Right. Could they do that every year?
But that would apply to guys who are just coming out from bagging bashes at grocery, bagging groceries at bashes.
It would only apply to people who are...
People coming from out of state who have been in the business.
Right. As it's currently drafted.
Yeah.
But I don't think, are we getting a lot of those types of applications? You see any people who really seem to know what they're doing? Because I'm not getting those. They must be sending me the bad. I had to talk to Ruth. I think she's sending me the bad.
That would be me. She gives them to me. I'm like, no, give them to Peter.
Peter likes. He loves them. So do we want to move this along with a motion at all on what we believe is the qualification requirement and the compensation, suggested compensation?
Sure.
So you want
to? Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we recommend to the board that we hire through a temporary agency a report reviewer for applications when we are backlogged. His requirements should be 5 years in the business, a minimum 250 paid inspections with no disciplinary action with the board for the last 3 years.
I'll second that.
At a rate of $25 per...
I apologize. At the rate of $25.
Okay. I'll second the amendment also. It seems like for discussion here, the 25 seems a little on the low side, especially if we're paying a temp agency something off the top of that. If that's the case, I just wonder if we should go 30 or 35 to make sure that the inspector would net out 25.
That's what I mean, at a net rate to the inspector.
We can do that math. I'm not sure what the current off the top ends up.
Okay.
That's how we're working with
So could
with
it be,
budgets.
The motion be a net 25?
A net 25 an hour?
Okay. So accept that.
All right.
We got a question here for clarification. Does the home inspector have to be in an active status?
It's a good point.
I thought deliberately we weren't going to do that with Randy specifically in mind. He's not going to be active.
Or retiring.
He might have to put his license inactive as opposed to just abandoning it. You guys would have to decide.
Being active, he'd have to pay the financial assurance, so that'd be a burden.
Is there a retired status or just an inactive status?
Inactive.
So we would probably want to amend the motion to include that.
And do you want inactive for not more than X number of years? I mean, if the person's been inactive 10 years, 15 years, is that a concern?
Well, how long can you go inactive?
Permanent.
I mean, so why are we limiting it?
Well, because with home inspection,
things change.
You have to test within a 2-year period if you're inactive.
Oh, I see. For the initial hiring.
Right.
But the standards could change.
All right, I'm with you.
Just a question. You don't have
to...
This board is going to, or this committee is going to be hand-picking these people to do this. Mm-hmm. So there could always be a game day decision, you know, from standpoint of experience, certainly. But I think we do have to clarify the active or inactive license piece within maybe the motion. Right?
Okay, so to reiterate the motion, I make a motion that we recommend to the board that we hire through a temporary agency a report reviewer for applications when we're backlogged. The report reviewer's qualifications should be 5 years
To match peer review with the same requirements as a peer reviewer.
With the same requirements as a peer reviewer.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
Just for ease, so you can word it exactly the same as that. Steal from it.
And the temp to be have a license that's either active or inactive with a rate of net rate of $25 an hour.
Do you want, well, I guess discussion part, like we were talking about, do you want it to be active or inactive no longer than X number of years?
We wouldn't need that if the committee gets to select, and could that be a part of this motion too, that the committee be involved in selection?
Okay.
And then that way we would take staff input, how are they performing, before we're going to move anybody forward on that. And so if the committee's continuously able to select, I don't know that we can, you know, we're going to be have the tools necessary to choose wisely.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'd put that in there, though, because it's going to have to go to the board to review. I mean, if it just says active, inactive, board members might say, well, what do you mean? I mean, you know,
yeah,
this guy's hasn't worked in 20 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, Kurt, you can take out the bracketed area there now. Push you, yeah, there you go. The way that's written, he has to be active or inactive for the last 5 years, which means that he has, if he was inactive for 10 years, I guess that would include the last five, right? All right, I'd have no problem with that.
So they're going to time out. They're going to be kicked out. It's going to be a 10-year term. Is that right?
So seconded to hire a temp approved by the committee, right? Don't you want that in there?
Yeah, I'd rather it said approved by the committee and take out the active, inactive.
Well, up at the top, hire a temp.
Approved.
Temporary employee approved by the home inspector committee.
HIRNS.
Yeah.
It's really contractor, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a... Is he on a 1099? No, he's on payroll, right?
It would be on the temp payroll, the temp. Basically.
All right.
So I mean, it'd really be an employee through a temporary
right.
agency or a temp agency. This is Peter's motion. We're just bastardizing it.
Yeah.
And Peter moved and seconded up there, so it should be a Paul seconded.
Well, we're rescinding our first motion.
That's the clout I have in this room. I can move.
We don't usually do this.
The committee work here.
Welcome to the committee.
Yeah. But this is important to get this right.
Okay.
I guess just one more suggestion. That they've been licensed in Arizona. That 5 years pertains to an Arizona license, not somebody coming from out of state.
The 5 years fell out, but the 250 paid inspections could say that.
Right. In Arizona.
So that's not inferred here, huh? The Arizona?
No, the law is never inferred. Yeah.
It's never inferred. Okay. Well, how about DA? Do we need to...
Well, Kirk can fill that in.
Okay. All right.
Does the minutes.
Well, do you want Arizona included in that or not?
Well, no, disciplinary action, because you could have discipline in another state.
And we would want to know that.
Just leave that. I mean, mm-hmm. you might not have one in Arizona, but...
All right.
Stole something out of someone's house and...
Not pay of $25 an hour.
You movers and seconders like it?
Should we rescind our first and second and start again on this, Peter?
Yeah, you'll have to rescind your second.
I will rescind my second.
I'll rescind my motion.
Okay, let's make another
stab at this. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. Are we good?
Yeah.
I make a motion that we recommend to the board that the board hire a temporary employee approved by the Rules and Standards Committee, Home Inspector Rules and Standards Committee, when applications are backlogged. The requirements for the temp are the following. Must have completed 250 paid inspections in Arizona, no disciplinary action in the last 3 years, with a net pay of $25 an hour.
What about the 3 year or...
5 year, you mean?
5 year experience.
Well, you wanted to, you were going to put that in
real
time.
It was a 3 year no disciplinary, right?
Yeah, 3 year no disciplinary.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, I'll second that then.
Makes sense.
All right.
More discussion?
More discussion on that?
Well, the 5 years dropped out simply because we're going to do this in committee. If he hasn't been working for 5 years, we're probably not going to hire him. All right? Okay.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, hearing none, is there any opposition to the passage of the motion? Hearing none, motion passes. Would you, how will we handle the recommendation? Like, say, right now we're sitting here with Randy as a first choice.
Application or something?
I think just a letter of interest, maybe.
Letter of interest.
And... I think we might be able to do that, like we put out the word for a new committee member, perhaps.
Perfect.
Are we thinking to put together a stable of these people?
Maybe a backup, at least one backup, I would say, is a good idea.
You would think.
Yeah. Because we'd hate to have five or six of these on Randy's desk and have him slide off the mountain on his motorcycle one day.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, and it's the other thing is turnaround time for this contractor. Mm-hmm. And it really is probably more of a contractor than employee officially, legally, right? What if, you know, what if this person winds up taking 3 weeks to turn it around? Well, that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
It does.
You know? So there's a level of expectation on turnaround time for this person. And granted, it's going to be up to staff to kind of monitor this and say, hey, this guy's taking too long to turn these around. We can do it faster in-house.
You know? That's true. And we can make that clear to him when in committee.
So there's an expected turnaround time of 3 days, 5 days, whatever we believe is fair to turn around this report review.
Well, this if it only takes a couple of hours, I reckon we can get 3-4 hours to get back to us.
Granted, and you know, but at some point, it doesn't have to be a retired person. It could be someone active in the business, mm-hmm. because maybe we can't find a retired person. So it's someone active. It's you or me or who knows who. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't imply only one person, does it? It says employee. It
says a temporary employee.
Should it have an S? Or does it matter? You could multiply that. You could.
Can this be more than one person?
Do you see that kind of need? That kind of backlog to hire more than one?
If somebody were not performing, we could have several signed up at the agency, the temp agency, and have a little bit
may
of a
need
stable
more than
there.
One to go to.
This will work if we only have one at a time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just buy it one at a time.
One at a time.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Then perhaps by the next meeting we could have some ideas of who to reach out to.
And ideally someone who's come off the ACs is the low-hanging fruit here, right? Is if we had to go beyond Randy. Someone who's been through EACs, ideally, but if not, someone who knows how to review a report, because there's a skill level there.
There is.
It's a craft.
It is. I've honed mine all over
yeah,
6 hours.
Yeah, you've honed yours on the 6 hours.
So the three of us could work on who we'd kind of put up as
yeah, give them some thought.
And maybe even reach out and call them or something. Okay. All right. Thank you. That was 5D. 5E is financial assurance grace period.
Yeah, my thinking on that is if this new bill is going to call for a 2-year renewal cycle, this becomes a moot point. I mean, we're still going to have to monitor the FAA. It's not going to match up, but we'll just go through our process, and send the letters, and get the financial assurance in. Because if they're on a 2-year renewal and these policies are typically 1-year policies, they're in the middle of a renewal cycle anyway.
I think the 2 years is out of that bill, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I think it's still there. That
it's in
renewed
there?
For 2 years. Just to explain to Paul, what the problem that enforcement's having is the law says that a home inspector has to get their financial renewal within the first 2 months before they start actually doing home inspections that they're being
right.
paid for. What they're finding is people are already and happy and want to get their license, but then they don't get their financial assurance. So then it's like herding cats. And then the renewal cycle is out of sync with their financial assurance cycle, but there doesn't seem to be any good ways of...
Okay, so so
can you buy
can...
a bond for 2 years? Or get your E&O insurance for 2 years?
Usually annually. The insurance company wants to take a look at you every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
So, okay, so somewhere in between our renewal with the state, we could run 6 months without financial insurance, pick it up, and you have it just in time to give it to you.
I'm virtually certain we abandon that concept of every 2 years.
I can look it up.
Okay, thank you.
Or the financial institutes that... giving 2-year policies.
It's a national thing.
And it would be awful tough to get them to do it with.
Yeah, good luck.
And we were just trying to think of ways to sync the renewal cycle with the policy cycle.
So they just provide it every time they renew the kind of thing?
Well, they have to do that anyway, but the problem is if they're renewing today, but their financial assurance is still good for another couple of months.
Right.
They produce the proof of financial assurance, they get renewed, and then they forget about it 2 months later.
They have
we don't have any proof
right.
of financial
and then,
assurance.
Yeah, and then we get back to, you know, the BTR communicating back with that registrant saying, hey, you've lost your financial assurance, you've got X amount of days to reinstate it, or else you're not a home inspector anymore, right?
Right, and the law requires that we suspend the license.
Right, and the law requires, of course, that the registrant be responsible to maintaining it, but, you know, we get back to how much communication can and should the BTR have back to the registrant on things like licensing and financial assurance and any of these other requirements.
Well, we do send notifications, warning letters, you know, your financial assurance is going to expire in the state. If you don't have it in, then we're going to have to suspend. We go through all those steps.
Okay, so there's an email or something sent to whatever contact info we have, I guess, or
we send letters to their address of record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're right, David. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah,
there.
We pulled that, I believe.
Cool. Okay.
We would have been the only one on some kind of weird cycle, right?
Yep. Well, you're still the only ones on a weird cycle.
We are?
Yep.
Yeah. The only one.
So that had to do with having a 2-year license. Is
yeah,
that what you're Roy saying?
Yeah, Roy had kind of proposed that early on because a lot of, or like nursing or some of these other agencies have that. And there's just,
right.
I had concerns that guys can't remember annually now, and I get... People whining for various reasons to me, but one reason is that, well, the board doesn't tell me, and it's like...
You're
okay,
a licensee.
Yeah, exactly. You got a calendar, right? I don't know, so...
You have to give us a valid address.
Yeah, little details. So if we went to 2 years, I think that's going to worsen.
Make it worse, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
Yes, I was thinking of you guys.
I appreciate
and
it.
Me, though. I was thinking of me. So now does...
I don't think it's going to make any difference. Yeah. Unless we can make that same, I don't know how we can do it.
There's no way to...
Don't they notify somebody who loses their financial insurance?
If they're canceled, yeah, we get cancellation notice from the insurance company. Yeah. That's a different issue.
But they don't send you one if they if it runs out and they didn't renew, right? Only if they took it from them, right?
Right. They probably did renew it, but they haven't provided it to us, and the law requires that they provide proof to the board.
Right.
So we have it on record.
But the insurance company...
Do you guys actually track all that?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a nightmare, huh?
So much written between the lines.
What do you do with the other
environment? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you do with engineers and architects in that?
They don't need financial assurance.
We can do whatever we want.
You guys are all rich anyway. They know. Deep pockets. They can go. All right.
Different statutes for different folks. That's all I can say. Yeah,
we can thank the realtor.
Yeah, that was not our baby. That was.
And the bond is a one-time thing, right?
Bond is a year.
Is a year.
Mm-hmm. You have to pay for it every year.
You guys basically have the same requirements as the ROC.
Yeah.
Contractors.
Yeah.
Without the font.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and now we're at agenda item 6, Paul, which is affectionately known as my favorite part, which is the director's report.
And Jason's favorite. Because I talk now. Yeah. Well, for statistics, the enforcement unit has currently 19 home inspection related complaints. 5 are from 2017 and 14 are from 2018. And I want to say, that's good. Okay, there are 821 registered home inspectors. And there are 464 registered home inspection firms in Arizona. And last month we received 12 applications, and 9 of them are pending. We got 83 renewals for home inspection registration. And I think that's it, Dave, for statistics. We talked about legislation, and we introduced Mr. Starom, and...
The computers are doing
great. The computers, Rob.
It's getting there. We the big five, so those are the five professionals, the engineers, geologists, all them. They can renew online currently. It's working. The home inspectors, the only reason that they're not set up for it yet is because the financial assurance issue. Having to provide that, but that's something that we're working on so that it is possible that that'll be up. I don't know if it's going to be up in April, but it's something being worked on. So I don't think that one's too far off.
Good.
So, I mean, we are getting there. The home inspector one is... We probably could set it up. So, I mean, we're at the point that it would run just like the big five would, just depending on how we want to deal with financial assurance. So we'll have to figure out how that's going to hang up and hold up.
And that could just be an attachment, maybe?
It would be you'd upload it and then...
Attachment, you would scan, here's a copy of the cert.
Exactly. Right. You would just upload the document just like you would upload a written statement if you had a background check thing. It'd be the exact same kind of page. So they have to add that page in is the only real hang-up, but I don't know whether they could renew without that or not. Maybe technically they could renew and then provide that later, or we'd have to determine how we want to handle that.
That brings up the point that renew and then 3 months later the policy expires. You want a way to upload the new one without having to ask your agent to do that, not knowing if the loop got closed, right? So if there's a way, computer-wise, online to do that.
Right, and if there was a way where you could just log into your account and just upload your new assurance,
yeah,
your new bond,
yeah,
it would be great
as
well. So those are the kind of things we're looking into for home inspectors.
Excellent.
I do want to point out that clearance card, it's going to be better than you think, because, if I'm wrong, let me know. For alarm agents, you can apply for this card before you even apply to be an alarm agent, basically. So if you're a home inspector, you want to be a home inspector, you're in a class, you can apply and get your background validated. You can even do this technically probably even like a year out and get a clearance card, put that you want to be a home inspector, and then when you get that card back, you know that you are ready to submit that with the application. Because the two-month period that we're experiencing has a lot to do with the background check. The fingerprints are taking a month to 2 months to get back.
Right.
So if you have that clearance card to start, yeah, it still has to go through an evaluator, but it's already ready to go to the evaluator. Mm-hmm. So we are cutting off a big chunk. Like, you can actually do your application without getting fingerprints and waiting for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if it got down to a month once the clearance card's there.
Is the DPS going to be involved at all now in the proposed?
Yeah, it is. It's still through DPS. They do all that. And anything...
It's just a kind of stamp of approval kind of thing? Or?
Right. And if you do have something in your background and it does have to be challenged, you go through the fingerprint board instead of through our board. So currently I would put a home inspector with maybe a random background. I would put him on the board agenda and then have the board determine if we can grant him or not. But now it's up to the fingerprint board to get him that clearance card, because he needs that card to move forward. So that takes that off our plate, takes the fingerprints off our plate, and they can get that card anytime. It's good for 6 years. So I could get it right now and then decide to be a home inspector in 2 years, and I have the card. I'm ready to apply, basically, once I finish classes in parallel. So.
And what will encourage them to do that when we send out the notice?
And the card is a six-year.
It's a six-year card, yeah, and we just need an active card, because actually DPS will inform me if somebody, Joe Smith, has a card and then he gets a felony or something, they'll send me a report, so now I can send it to Doug to see what kind of enforcement action we need to do.
Now, if DPS is actually doing the background check, are their standards as high as the board standards?
They're actually higher by statute. They will flag almost everything, and cards will be denied, but there's a process through the fingerprint board, as Rob said, for someone to get what's called a good cause exception. So if someone had a felony 20 years ago, that's going to be flagged and denied, and then they can go to the fingerprint board and say, okay, look at all the stuff that I did, and I've remediated, and I'm better, and whatever the circumstances are, and that board will determine whether to grant that person a fingerprint card.
And they're pretty quick, too.
They're really quick, yeah. And then the other good thing is, one of the most frequent questions I get from future home inspectors is, hey, I have a felony, or I have this background. Am I going to be able to make it through? I don't want to pay for all these classes.
Right.
So I can say, hey, go get that clearance card now.
That's big.
Once you have that card, you know that your background's good to become a home inspector. So that'll prevent them from taking classes and going through the whole process and then figuring out that felony is going to prevent me from being.
And is the BT, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that part of the Senate bill authorizes the board to be added to the DPS list. As it is now, we're only added for alarm industry personnel. But once this bill passes and becomes effective, then applicants for home inspection certification are also added to our list. So, I mean, yeah, you could go get a fingerprint card, but I think you need to be affiliated with an agency that requires it.
Right, in order for us to access it, we'll check a box that says this is what I want the clearance card
for. I wonder how much time after the governor signs.
It's the 90 days.
And after the day he signs, it's going to be instant, or?
No, it's 90 days.
90 days after?
It's, after the close of sign, you die. 90 days after sign, you die.
But do you think the DPS will get word of that and everything will be set up for the...
Yes. They did that for us with alarms.
And it just was immediate.
We coordinated with FBI and DPS.
The switch won't be flipped until that day that it becomes directive arrives, but they'll be all ready.
Yeah, they'll have planned for it.
So if I went for a six-year card right now, I couldn't get one.
Right, because you're
not legal. Unless I was trying to be going for an alarm.
Teacher or something like that, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and if somebody gets a clearance card in California or for another profession, it's not going to do us any good because we can't look them up and make sure the card's still good.
And we won't be getting notified if that person's arrested.
Right.
Because our certification isn't listed under our authorization to receive the info.
Yeah, and that brings up the point, arrested, charged versus convicted, right? So we're more concerned about convictions, right?
Right.
People can be charged for anything.
Right.
So we would only get notified if there's a conviction, right? Not of charge, or how does that work?
If there's an arrest, we'll still get it.
Yeah, we still get it. Because
so that'll be a red flag to kind of keep an eye on
right.
it, but we can't take any action from an arrest, right? I would hope.
Right. Okay. Our board wouldn't. We're more conservative that way. But for instance, the health regulatory boards are required to look into it.
Okay.
So.
Okay, and my next question is, will the BTR be saying, okay, if you want a card, go see vendor XYZ, or are we going to be facilitating,
yes,
aiming them towards one or two vendors to do this?
We'll shift them to the DPS website, which actually gives them the, I forget the name of the fingerprint thing, AccuCheck or something. They'll send them to like all these different satellite sites they can go to and get their
fingerprints. Okay, so DPS has the vendors working for them. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great to be able to do this online. It's been a long time coming, and we appreciate it.
This is going to be, I think it's going to be a great thing for you guys, for your application, so I'm excited.
There's just no solution to the, is there any way if renewal period for insurance is on a certain date, is there any way to do a prorated license to just catch those dates up to align?
Not without a change in statute.
Yeah. Well, that ain't
what we might be able to do in the future is update the database to somehow give us a heads up for one step at a time.
Yeah. That would involve an enhancement to the computer.
Yes, it would.
Kerr, will you look up Peter Leeds on our website or Randy West?
See if he's even licensed.
Yeah, and but our budget.
It's always Peter.
I get afraid I'm on the dark web.
I always use you as my sample when I'm checking stuff.
That's why I keep getting those bogus emails.
he's still active. What we could do, Melissa and Doug and I talked about this, is ask GL to put the financial assurance underneath the license type there, and put the expiration date so that we can send links out to people, say, hey, keep an eye on this. It would help a few people.
Yeah, it would.
It would also help if we looked up somebody on there, we could match up their expiration date with their financial assurance.
We haven't uploaded your photo, Peter.
Oh, do I get a photo?
You can.
I'll send you one.
Glamour shot.
It can't be your dog. It has to be you, though.
That would just be an enhancement.
Right? It would definitely be an enhancement, but it wouldn't be too expensive one to have that financial insurance.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I got an old
Let's
man mask.
The list. Our budget for next year is in good shape, actually. We did put in a request for about $65,000, anticipating we want to make enhancements to the database once it's actually up and running, officially. It is running behind the scenes. Like, we're doing all our work through it. I know enforcement is using it regularly, and Kurt's using it regularly. Staff is. The only thing that's really not up fully is the application, the ability to apply online, although hopefully that will be coming, and the renewals. The renewals are really, really close, so.
We've been sending out links to engineers, architects. If you're coming up March 31st, I'm sending out links saying you can renew online. It's just if we would have sent it out to everybody at this time, we've got a flood of calls of this isn't working or I don't have anything to renew, or so we wanted to kind of phase it in, but that's It is working.
And payment with credit cards is working, so that's really good. I was going to flag you to renew online, but man, you were right there.
Yeah, you actually got it for
you. Yeah, just gave it to Eileen and said, send him a check.
Well, I think, well, certainly at the time when the rules pass, when the rules change passes, that'll be kind of when we'll next need to for sure notify all the home inspectors. So I don't know. Is there any way to improve the communication data we have on them? I mean, we try every year, right?
Yeah, we really do. We're required by law to notify our population. And we do. We send out now the paper renewals to everyone at their last known address of record. And we're also emailing people. We're not required to do that, but it's just a new way to communicate with staff, with licensees. So we don't have email or valid email for everyone yet. And I don't know that we ever will. So.
But if there was a way to log in and update a profile, if you will, then right. That information could be updated and we could get word out to all the inspectors in the state mm-hmm. to say, listen, if you want proper notifications, you have to make sure all your information is current, yeah. right? Put the responsibility
on that.
That's
pretty close to being able to... we can give you guys, so you guys can log in, create an account, you can update your contact information, and that includes putting in an email address, because a lot of people don't have email addresses for us to send that kind of automated email too.
And
so.
Upload a photo.
And that's functional or soon to be functional?
That part is functional. The reason that it isn't out to everybody yet is because from that page they can accidentally renew, or there was something on there they could accidentally do we didn't want them doing. So once that's taken care of, it'll be up forever.
So they were activating their inactive status.
They could pay for a delinquent renewal without paying a penalty fee or something. So we were like, once we got that taken down, we should be able to get that.
Do you think that's soon?
I think that's pretty soon.
I got both my phone and license renewal notices in your login the same day.
I did too.
Yeah.
Just like a few days ago.
Yeah. So you think by the summertime, maybe?
Okay. Wait to see what kind of pictures you're going to get.
So Ryan got his too.
Right. So as soon as that is functional, then there will be communication go out to everybody to say, here's how you update your own.
Yeah, we'll let people know. We'll send emails. I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's not my decision. But probably email out to people and then post on
that. That's already enough. We'll notify people that it's coming. This is what they're going to do ahead of time and when it will take effect. So we'll notify people in mail and by email. We'll put it on our Facebook. We'll put it on our website. We've got the newsletter that Kurt's working on. We can put it in there.
Perfect.
It worked with alarms. We just really papered them, and we got bad advice from pharmacy, and they were right. Just put it out there as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
so. Awesome. If anybody wants to submit something for the newsletter, we are starting to do that. Okay. I know Randy always liked.
Yeah, we lost Randy. But we can still reach out to him. He's good for a few more articles.
He's good for a few more articles. Emeritus member.
As part of the director's report and complaints, is the trend going, is it about the average amount of complaints, Melissa, or is it going up, down?
It's
or
about the average.
About the average.
We actually spend more enforcement time on home inspectors and land surveyors than we do on all the other professions.
7% well, we're, of our population.
We're in the epicenter of a transaction.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and actually applications have been up because the economy is good. Mm-hmm. So Rob's unit has been processing more applications faster recently than has been in the past year.
Okay, great. And so it sounds like we're in the process of putting a newsletter for outreach and communication to the groups. Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent.
And you can on our website access past newsletters as well. And the disciplinary list is mm-hmm. the most viewed and most popular section.
Because it used to be years ago on the newsletter, it would say, and these following group of people have their license has expired. And that's another little reminder to, hey, check that. Make sure your name's not on there, right?
I think it's says delinquent, doesn't it?
So it used to be, and then it used to be a group, okay, inactive status was a group, and or expired for 1 to 3 years or 1 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And if there's a way to do that still on the end of the newsletter, if there's an easy way, that's another little reminder that we're doing everything we can to...
We have the list of newly granted. It's really new.
Well, because it,
really
it covers
thorough.
Like a 6 month period. So
yeah.
It's massive.
Canceled. There you go.
Yeah, they canceled within that 6 month period.
Wow. That's quite a name.
But I don't know that we have delinquent. Do
we
Kurt?
Used to have delinquent, but...
I don't think I've ever had a list of delinquent.
But yeah, if it's electronic, then maybe it is a link, right?
Well, this is for sure.
Right.
And these cancels are going to get more difficult now because of how the GL system, this last time after we canceled that list and we went through, because either go name by name to cancel them in our system, I mean, there was probably 4 or 5 people who were not to be canceled because the system brought them up as delinquents. And so we obviously didn't cancel them. But it makes it so now, you know, if I want to create this list over 6 months of who has actually been canceled, it's going to be a bit more complicated because I don't want to include anybody's name that we, in fact, did not cancel.
Right.
So.
Okay.
The delinquent is useful, though, because it's another notice to people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because here, we cancel a home inspector. They're going to have to retest. So, well, and actually for any of these professions. They're going to have to retest.
After a year.
So canceled's a big deal. Delinquent, you still have time to renew without having to go through, you know, the rigmarole.
But that's a 1 year.
Right.
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 Okay.
Cool.
Anything else? Thank you.
That's all. Thank you.
You're awesome.
My staff is awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that.
So next is item... Our agenda item number 7, committee chairman's report. We were going to allow some time for...
We can defer it.
Yeah, I want to go over the realtor bill
save
some time for that. But just for the record, Paul is the expert in the National Home Inspection Exam.
Great.
So he's been on that board, led that board for quite some time. So just if anything arises, he's definitely the go-to person for that.
Yay.
And he can keep us apprised. He might know a couple people that keep us in the know.
Yeah,
How often are you...
Well, I just came off a 6-year term on that board, but I'm still kind of loosely coupled to it with a little committee work that they're kind of pulling me in on. So, but I have, you know, access and can get answers pretty quick. And at some point, if and when appropriate, I can give you guys a quick update on the exam, the exam's health, and what the exam is doing in the United States and Canada.
So that's all we would have had, or I would have had. So agenda item number 8 is future agenda items. And I would request that we keep A, B, and C on. And we have a new D that is the potentially names and letter of interest for report reviewer position. Although I wonder if that would be appropriate to put out in the newsletter a request for applicants for that type of work as maybe an article. So something to consider if you want to just open it up or just let us. You know, Peter's done a lot of meetings where he has a good group. We had Brick and Tony Heck that were in consideration when Paul was...
You're talking about for the employment position?
Yeah, like if Randy decides he doesn't want, you know, just have a bit of a list to choose from or something.
Yeah.
But we still want to keep our volunteers, too.
Yeah, right. You're right.
It's the challenge.
Yeah,
good call.
If you open it up,
let's
you're going to say,
open
why
up
would
up.
I do it for free? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we ought to just, if we can't get Randy, then we ought to meet and just
talk it out.
Talk,
maybe we can
or
be
just,
Dave.
Informally contact someone to send a letter of interest.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Peter, but you'd go broke.
I know.
6 hours at a pond.
Hey, for $25 an hour, they're going to run 10 hours.
Just going to pad that.
I think if a letter of interest, we should do it that way. That's the way we always open up this committee. So let's do a letter of interest from Randy. If he's interested, tell him send a letter. And then if he's not, then word of mouth, anyone who sends a letter will consider. Isn't that the proper way?
We'll put out the word.
Quiet. Word of mouth.
Though. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no billboards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good call. All right, and was there anything else for a future agenda?
That was it as far as I was concerned.
When do you want to meet?
Future meeting. Is anything urgent on any of that?
Only the severity rating. If we have 14 complaints that's sitting out there right now, we're going to need that right away. So you want to go into March, short meeting, be done?
Our board meeting is the 27th?
I think so. It should be the 4th Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
March 27th. So today's Tuesday. I could do 13th, 14th.
Didn't you guys go to Wichita? That second week.
Second week?
Through the 11th.
Oh. Is it 13th or 14th? Look
March for me.
Yeah, I won't be able to come, but I'll be in Hawaii.
Lucky.
And I'll be gone that week, too.
You will?
A little on the spring break.
What about...
We got the first one.
First week sounded like Wichita or something.
Somebody's in Wichita.
You don't want to wait till April, Peter?
We can wait till April.
But we don't. We leave for Wichita either the 7th or 8th, so... Yeah, but that's only 3 weeks away, guys. So do we want to meet that early?
You know, I mean, if the only reason we're meeting is for that severity thing, I mean, technically you can't send it to everyone, but Peter sent an email to Dave, and then Peter sent a separate email to Paul.
You could do a phone meeting.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I mean, all it's going to do is just read that thing and just say, this is what we discussed, kind of thing.
Peter will probably have it done tomorrow. You jump on stuff.
More or less, tomorrow or the next day. But
what we can do also is just give it to staff, and if it needs revision at the next meeting, once we see it again, it's not going to be a crisis.
It can actually wait till April. I mean, these guys can swim in the confusion until April.
So April 10th.
Are you back by April?
Yeah. I'm not gone for a long time. That would be lucky. Nice. I wish it was.
You guys are not back by April?
We're busy the last week.
Yeah. So the 10th.
10th.
Oh, it's the 10th of April?
Where are you going?
10th of April.
We're on a cruise, so we're going
everywhere.
Can't do the 17th.
Oh, either. Wait. We can't do the 10th or the 11th.
I could do the 17th. How about the 17th?
Tax day? Sure.
Tax day.
Should we put that down?
So what did we decide? Tax day?
April 17th?
I could be here, but I'd be late.
We could also...
But you guys can do this meeting without me, too.
The 18th?
Oh, no.
I'll take one for the team.
Or 16th? A Monday. No, we don't like Mondays, do we?
18th?
10 didn't work for somebody?
Right.
How about 12? That didn't work either?
No.
We can't do that.
18th works.
Oh, yeah? Oh, for
17th?
The
18th? We have an 18th over there.
We have an 18th.
Jason?
18th?
18th, that works.
18th?
Do it.
Melissa?
Yep.
Is that it? April 18th. It's usually not that
9:30?
Hard.
9:30? Is that okay, guys?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We still want 9:30?
Yeah.
Not 9?
No, it's tough to get here by 9.
Because one meeting starts at
right.
9.
And the other
one starts at 9:30.
Yay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sir, April 18th.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a final motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Think about that.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, this meeting is adjourned at 10 or 11:20.